जय गोपी जन वाला बागिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वाला बागिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रवर्जकाचार्य अस्तुत्र सत अवैध शरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांता स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य बीवीटी फाउंडर आचार्य शील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रवर्जकाचार्य अस्तुत्र सत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेम नंदी हरि। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सेमल डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सेमल डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सेमल डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा कंटिन्यूइंग रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 11 Today we will discuss text 22 and 23. They have short purports. So we have 22 on the board. We can chant it together. Trilokya Yuga Sahasram Bahir Abramano Dinam Tavati eva nishyatata Yannimilati vishvasrik Trilokya yuga sahasram Bahir abrahmano dinam Tavati eva nishyatata Yannimilati vishvasrik Trilokya yuga sahasram Bahir abrahmano dinam Tavati eva nishyatata Yannimilati vishvasrik Trilokya Yuga Sahasram Bahir Abramano Dinam Tavati Eva Nishatata Yannimilati Vishvasrik Trilokya Yuga Sahasram Bahir abrahmano dinam Tavati eva nishyatata Yannimilati vishvasrik Trilokya yuga sahasram Trilokya yuga sahasram Bahira brahmano Tavati eva nishyatata Yannimilati vishvasrik Trilokya yuga sahasram Matajis Trilokya Yuga Sahasram synonyms, please repeat. Trilokya of the three worlds. Yuga, the four yugas. Sahasram, 1,000. Bahi, outside of. Abrahmana, up to Brahmaloka. Dinam is a day. Tavati, a similar period. Eva, certainly. Nisha is night. Tata, O dear one. Yat, because. Nimilati, goes to sleep. Vishvashrik, Brahma. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Outside of the three planetary systems, Swarga, Martya and Patala, the four yugas multiplied by 1,000 comprise one day on the planet of Brahma. A similar period comprises a night of Brahma, in which the creator of the universe goes to sleep. Purport. When Brahma goes to sleep in his night time, the three planetary systems below Brahmaloka are all submerged in the water of devastation. In his sleeping condition, Brahma dreams about the Garbhodakshai Vishnu and takes instruction from the Lord for the rehabilitation of the devastated area of space. I'll read 23 also. It doesn't have a purport. Nishavasana arabdho lokakalpo nuvartate yavaddinam bhagavato manun bhunjams chaturdasha. After the end of Brahma's night, the creation of the three worlds begins again in the daytime of Brahma, and they continue to exist through the life duration of 14 consecutive manus, or fathers of mankind. This is a one-line purport. At the end of the life of each manu, there are shorter dissolutions also. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namo. I seek blessings of my superiors. And Hare Krishna to everyone. So, this is a discussion where Vidura and Maitreya Muni, they are discussing the symptoms of time, kala, eternal time. And prior to this, we heard so many discussions about how time exists in different spaces, and how there is a relative difference how time functions on different realms in the material cosmos. And we also heard how time does exist in the spiritual world, but it's it's just like an indication of a change of season or change of mood or pastime in the spiritual world. It doesn't have a destructive effect on the activities in spiritual world as it has in the material cosmos. So Vidura, he asked, let me see if I can find the number. He asked one of the questions that what happens in the higher planets? Are there some higher planets within the material world where not everyone is devastated by influence of time? And in response to answer that, here Maitreya Muni is speaking about the planet of Brahmaloka, where it's described when the final annihilation happens, then Brahma and with some other advanced sages living in higher planets, they attain liberation and they go to Vaikuntha Loka from there. But in these two, it's describing about the lifetime of Brahma, how long it is. Does anyone remember reading in the Bhagavad Gita? Yes. Yes. What's the number of years? I know Bhrigupati Prabhu knows, he quotes it often. Okay. Madhava Mahotsavru. And that's pretty close. Yes, Prabhu. Okay. 311,040,000,000,000 years. So, we can imagine, I don't know, like I cannot imagine how long that time is, but maybe some of you can. And I was hearing a talk and this devotee was asking the devotees, imagine if you have a day like this, how would you plan your day? What kind of activities would you do in the whole day? And you have such a long lifetime. But the thing is that as we hear, anything that exists in material world, it comes into being and it also goes out of being. It's destroyed in course of time. So, of course, Brahma, he has like a long lifetime, but even he has to leave this material cosmos. He cannot just keep on going eternally in the material cosmos. That's one of the ideas that's given by Srimad Bhagavatam and even Bhagavad Gita. And there is in the purport, it says when Brahma goes to sleep in his night time, so during the daytime he is engaged in activities of creation. Now, we will be like going into Manus after this, as in the second verse it mentions. Does anyone know how many Manus come in one life of Brahma? Yes. Or rather I should say one day of Brahma. Because after one day there is partial annihilation. 14 Manus, yeah. Thank you. So 14 Manus come and go in one day, O Brahma. And after the day when Brahma goes to sleep, all the living entities, though they are merged back into the body of Mahavishnu. So they are sleeping there for all the whole night time of Brahma. And as we know from Bhagavad Gita, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, as is the day of Brahma, same is the night time of Brahma. So for all that time, living entities are in a sleeping state in the body of Mahavishnu. And then, next day, they again come into being. So that's called partial annihilation. Now, when Brahma is not creating, then what's happening? There is destruction happening. And all the living entities, they are dissolved into the body of Mahavishnu. Now, when Shyamakunda Prabhu, he gave a class, he discussed about different types of destructions that happen, which is stated here also in the previous chapter. And in the next, one of the next few verses, it says very clearly in text 31, says, yeah, at the beginning of the devastation, all the seas overflow and hurricane winds blow very violently. Thus the waves of the seas become ferocious, and in no time at all the three worlds are full of water. It is said that the blazing fire from the mouth of Sankarsan rages for 100 years of the demigods, or 36,000 human years. Then for another 36,000 years there are torrents of rain accompanied by violent winds and waves, and the seas and oceans overflow. These reactions of 72,000 years are the beginning of the partial devastation of the three worlds. So, there is given more information by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj on these different types of destructions. And that's in 12th canto, at the end. In text 4, chapter 4, this is what Sukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj. Esha namitika prokta pralayo yatra vishvashrik. We heard in this verse there was the word vishvashrik. Sete nanta sano vishvam atmasat kritya chatma buhu. This is called the namittika or occasional annihilation. That's what is being spoken about in this verse here. During which the original creator, Lord Narayan, lies down upon the bed of Anantashesh and absorbs the entire universe within himself while Lord Brahma sleeps. So in this chapter, it's mentioned there that why is this kind of knowledge being given here? It's being given here, so one of the reasons that I found in this chapter, it says that a living entity, they can understand how insignificant their life is in relation to the creation of the whole cosmos and its annihilation, and how it goes on repeatedly till there is the complete annihilation of the whole universe. And so the living entity can understand that this lifetime, where due to being caught up in material life, someone thinks it's so significant, it's so important, they have to do everything, all the plans, they have to achieve all those plans, and that's the most important thing in life. But in this discussion where there is this great king, Parikshit, he's king of the whole planet at that time, and he has decided to renounce that kingdom and just absorb in understanding, like, what one should do when one is about to leave. So we were we went to see Narayan Prabhu before his departure, and I was looking at him, you know, we heard he did so many services, but there he is in the bed, and I was speaking with Savas Prabhu, who was there, as it's amazing how helpless a person becomes when it's time to live, time to die. And no matter how powerful one may be while one has energy to do things, but time, no one escapes the influence of time. I guess it's Muchukunda who says this, that I forget about time, but time did not forget about me. So, it's mentioned that how Lord Brahma, because he's engaged in devotional service, he's engaged in the management of the whole universe, although he also has to live, but he attains liberation. He goes back to the Lord at the end of complete annihilation. Before I say more on that, these are the four types of annihilation, just so we have a little idea of what's going on here. So in text 38 in chapter 4, Sukadev Goswami is sharing with Parikshit Maharaj and all the assembled sages here, there, that there is continuous annihilation, that's called Nitya, and then there is Nemitika, occasional, which we are discussing here in this verse, and then there is Prakritika, natural, which is the annihilation of the all the material elements, which happens when it's coming close to the final annihilation. And the final annihilation is called Atyantika. So this is the verse 38. Nityo nemittikas cheva tatha prakritiko laya Atyantikas cha katita kalasya gatir idrushi. In this way, the progress of time is described in terms of four kinds of annihilation: continuous, occasional, elemental, and final. But here, we are just discussing the partial annihilation. So, after the night, another day comes, and all the living entities, they come back, and they start their activities. It's amazing. So, all this time, while they were merged in the body of Mahavishnu, they forgot about all these activities, all these plans they had. They had no memory of it. But as soon as they comes back to life, again, they start acting. Like, imagine having dreams every night. You go to a dream, and then you wake up, and you forget about the dream and start doing, working on all the plans we have. So it's like that. But unless one comes to devotional service, one cannot get out of this cycle. That's the main purpose of hearing all these details about these things. In one of the purports, I was reading some text in chapter 8, because there is a little bit more information Prabhupada gives about Brahma's life and all these planets and the spiritual planet and what happens. So there it's interesting how the Bhagavatam, all the Vedas, they have so much information. Like there are, like Savas Prabhu was describing, different processes. So there are processes to get to any planet one wants to. So, in one of the purports, in text 16, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Baladev Vidyabhushan. And in his commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, Baladev Vidyabhushan, he is giving reference that, I'll just read the translation, there is a verse in the purport. When there is devastation of this material universe, Brahma and the devotees who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness are all transferred to the spiritual universe. and to specific spiritual planets according to their desires. And then, so there is this Panchagni Vidya. It's mentioned in Chandogya Upanishad. Does anyone know about Panchagni Vidya? Srila Prabhupada is saying by practicing this, one can achieve Brahmaloka. So it kind of gives some idea how these different processes can help one get to different planets. But what does Krishna say? A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Avartino Arjuna Mam Upetya Tu Konteya Punar Janma Na Vidyate. So A Brahma Bhuvana Loka means here in this verse it talks about outside the three planets. So Brahma Loka is actually above these, is the topmost in the 14 planetary systems. And below that there are other heavenly planets where different demigods and different advanced personalities, they live. Like there is Janaloka, there is Tapaloka, Maharloka, there are different lokas like that. And then within lower planets. So one can go to Brahmaloka, but even from Brahmaloka, when the annihilation happened, if they are not engaged, if they are not advanced, they come down. But if they are advanced, then they can go to spiritual planets. That's what is being said here in this purport. And then, why does it happen? It says that because Brahma is engaged in management service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under his direction, like we heard in the purport, when he's in sleep, what is he doing? He's getting instructions from the Lord how to start the creation again. Now, there are many pastimes where different devotees, they had dreams and they were given instruction personally by the Lord to do some service, and they did that. So it's not like that it's imagination or something. Within, like Brahma is like very far from us, we can say, but not too far, not too long ago also, we have heard so many different pastimes. One of the pastimes I remember is, like, we know about Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he was personally given instruction by Nityananda Prabhu, go to Vrindavan, that's where you will be able to achieve all your dreams, all your spiritual dreams. And what did he do? Did he think, oh, is this a dream? No. He acted on it. He did go to Vrindavan. And although he was wondering, like, I'm so old, I don't see any possibility of me writing a text like this. But, you know, he was always praying to the Lord for the strength to actually do it. So we can see the devotees, their examples are here, so we can learn from them how a devotee lives, how a devotee receives strength from the Lord. It's not like Lord is not, is just like energy, or just there is no form and there is no connection. That's why these kind of literatures are there, to give us an idea what these kind of practices can enable one to do. And it's amazing. Brahma in his sleep. Imagine, like, you are sleeping and you are getting instructions to do some important service. And then next day you wake up and you do something amazing. And everyone is like, wow. So Brahma is doing this every day. Not just one day. It's happening every day in life of Brahma. Because every night he goes to sleep. And the material cosmos is being partially annihilated. And then next day he again has to start creation again. But there will be more. I was just reading some of the texts and it's interesting how many details are there. What kind of living entities are created. And I made a whole list because we covered there are 9 kinds of creations. So let's see. Maybe we can do a little quiz. See if we can remember. Does anyone remember, like, out of the 9 creations, 9 kinds of creations mentioned, which we covered in this chapter, what are the... Okay. So, Archita Prabhu will bring some Mahaprasad to everyone, so one can break their Ekadasi fast. And in the meanwhile, does anyone remember, like, what are the creations that Brahma creates? So I thought it will be good to refresh since we are getting close to end of this chapter. I'll just share what here. Huh? Sarga and Visarga. Yeah, it's yes, but then in this chapter it describes like different living entities, who creates who. So like who creates demigods? Are they created by Brahma or are they created by Mahavishnu? So demigods are created by Brahma. That's the 10th creation. So that's what, I'll just refresh so we can all remember this. Yes, in the same chapter. Is because oh yeah, here. Actually, previous chapter, chapter 10, text 14. It says 9 kinds of creation and 3 kinds of annihilation. And then it's describing in 18th, 3, 10, 18, 7, 8, and 9. They are created by Brahma. I'll just say what they are. Okay. All the above are natural creations by the external energy of the Lord. Now hear from me about the creations by Brahma, who is an incarnation of the mode of passion, and who in the matter of creation has a brain like that of personality of Godhead. So here Maitreya is telling Vidura, the 7th creation is that of the immovable entities, which are of 6 kinds. The fruit trees without flowers, trees and plants which exist until the fruit is ripe, creepers, pretty much different plants and flowers. And then 8th and 9th. The 8th creation is that of the lower species of life, and they are of different varieties numbering 28. They are all extensively foolish and ignorant. They know their desirables by smell, but are unable to remember anything within the heart. And then next few verses is giving different animals. Pretty much covering. Can anyone remember any animal which goes by smell? Very popular animal. Yeah. So many are like, you can see, ghosts smelling everywhere. And then the ninth creation is, before that there is six natural creation which are created by God, by Vishnu. And that includes Mahatattva, all the material elements. So here now the creation of the human beings. That's the ninth creation. And then tenth is demigods. Apparently they are also, demigods are also created by Brahma. Yeah. The creation of the demigods is of eight varieties. And then it gives detail. The demigods, forefathers, asuras, demons, gandharvas, apsaras, yakshas, rakshasas, like that. So there is this full information. So Brahma is already creating certain part of it. But the point to understand is, where is he getting this strength to create from? He's getting it from the Lord. And the living entities also get the strength from the Lord. Like Prahlad, he tells his father that it's the same source from where you are getting all this power from to do all these amazing things that you are doing. But there is this verse in 8th chapter, 22. I'll just read that. Purusha sa parapartha bhaktya labhyastva ananya yashanta stani bhutani yena sarvam idam tatat tatam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although he is present in his abode, he is all pervading and everything is situated within him. So one may wonder how everything goes back into the body of the Vishnu. So we can understand how the Lord, many people say Lord is existing everywhere, but they don't accept the form of the Lord. So he's existing outside everything. Everything exists within him, but he still has his own form, his own abode, which is also described very elaborately in Bhagavad Gita also, and more specifically in Brahma Samhita. But just one point about the abode is, I made some notes here. Yeah. In text 21 of the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, so it's described, just a couple of points. The Krishna's abode is Chintamani Dham, touchstone. And there are desire trees which can fulfill all the desires of a resident of that abode. But in the purport, it's interesting how Srila Prabhupada mentions that a desire tree is one which can provide any kinds of eatables on demand. So, and Surabhi cows, they are supply like limitless quantities of milk. And then he gives reference from Katha Upanishad saying that this is the ultimate destination. So devotees, how come they are able to, we don't see these days like these big leaders, politicians or scientists, like renounce everything and dedicate certain part of their life because they are so intelligent. So one may wonder how come these kings or these sages, they were able to do it. So in the Parikshit Maharaj himself states it, because they are aware of these details about the whole existence. They are able to engage in devotional service and they develop personal realization and they are able to give up. This is what Parikshit says to Sukadeva Goswami after hearing from him. Let me give you the reference. Yeah. So this is in chapter 6, of 12th canto. Let me check. And I'll end with that. I'm just looking for this verse. Pretty much it's same as situation of Arjuna, but I was thinking in the Guru Puja, the Arjuna's situation is, Arjuna, he had to fight and win the whole kingdom. But here Parikshit, he has given up the whole kingdom, and then he's hearing from Sukhdev Goswami, and he's ready to leave. And he's seeing what is his destination. So he's saying that I become completely free from fear. And he's asking permission from Sukhdev Goswami, please allow me to stop all my activities and just absorb in thinking of Adokshaja, the personality of Godhead who is beyond all these mind, senses, the bodily activities. So, let's see if I can find the verse. Translation. Yep. So this is in chapter 6, text 7. This is Parikshit's response. I'll just read the translation. You have revealed to me that which is most auspicious, the supreme personal feature of the Lord. I am now fixed in knowledge and self-realization, and my ignorance has been eradicated. So what this whole process is to help one become free from ignorance and become self-realized so we can understand all these realities. Otherwise, ordinarily, like I don't know how many of you discuss these kind of topics before making contact with Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. But this is what it prepares one to transcend to that abode which is beyond all these destructive influence of Kala, eternal time. So, I think these were some of the points I had. But if some of you want to share some, yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you very much for a very well-prepared, well-researched class. And I love your delivery. You speak very slowly and clearly, enunciating all your words. Are very easy to understand. I have two points I'd like clarification on. One is, at the end of Brahma's day, do the living entities go back into the body of Mahavishnu or Garbhadakshay Vishnu? You said Mahavishnu twice, but then you actually read something. I believe you read a reference which indicated they went into the body of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. I've always been under the impression at the end of Brahma's day, it's Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and at the end of Brahma's life, Mahavishnu, but I could be wrong. Can you give me any clarification on that? Or is anybody...
Here, one sec.
Towards the beginning of the class, you said twice Mahavishnu, but then you read something about 10 minutes after that, which seemed to indicate that they went into the body of Garbhadakshay Vishnu.
I have to look it up.
I don't have it here. That's a technical point. But okay, here's the other one. This is less technical and more important. Okay, so I'll use an analogy to introduce this. So a person, say, hypothetical, a person... You know, as he's growing up, he goes to school, he starts working, he earns money, and he buys some land, and he starts building a house. and he gets about halfway through building that house, and then he dies. And then in his next lifetime, he'll start from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? New lifetime, he's starting from scratch. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's that same person, imagine he works, he earns money, and starts building a house, and he completes the house, and he sets it all up, everything's all set up, okay? And he goes to sleep at night. When he wakes up the next morning, he's not starting from scratch. It's all there. Everything's all there. All he just does is he wakes up. When he's asleep, he's forgotten everything. But when he wakes up, everything's there. And it's this continuity.
Yeah.
You know, he just starts using all the stuff he worked hard to build and make. And, you know, everything, just boom, off he goes again. Okay, so here's the question. As far as Brahma goes, at the beginning of Brahma's lifetime, he's like that first, you know, the first scenario where he's starting from scratch, right?
Yes.
But at the end of Brahma's day, when Brahma goes to sleep and when he wakes up again, all the heavy lifting, the question is, how much creation is he actually doing? Is he like that person in the second scenario who's already, you know, set everything up and he just wakes up and boom, he's off and... Or is it like a whole new, that he has to set everything up again and, you know, more or less kind of start from scratch at the beginning of every new day?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a detail, but what I remember from reading, especially understanding the Brahma is only doing these three kinds of creation in one sense. He's not creating the whole thing. So other six kinds, they are coming from Vishnu. But when there is partial annihilation, maybe Druta Karma Prabhu can confirm, when partial annihilation happens, everything does go into the body of Vishnu. Now, in 12th canto, Sukadev Goswami, he is saying, when Lord Brahma sleeps at night, Lord Narayan absorbs the universes. So at different places, it's like Vishnu who absorbs, but there's a detail like Garbhodakshaya Vishnu or which Vishnu is absorbing it. And so in one of the purports, in 12th canto, chapter 4, text 4, where the Namitika is mentioned, in the purport it said Lord Narayan absorbs. But here in the Gita I've read something else, and in Bhagavatam in this canto there is... Yeah, I didn't see specific, but maybe Druta Karma Prabhu can confirm.
It seems that both of you are right in the sense that Brahma doesn't have to create everything. Yeah, the elements are there, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is there. I would agree with your question in the beginning that Mahavishnu, he expands into all the different universes. The universes expand from his body. Brahma takes birth from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And then the living entities that are in that universe stay in that universe until Mahavishnu breathes in again and brings them all back. So it's like, it explains that in the beginning of a day of Brahma, Brahma brings, you know, the conditioned souls are all in the stem coming from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's navel. You know, so they're all there at that time. And then at the end of the lifetime, they would all be absorbed back into Mahavishnu. But after each day of Brahma, they would go into Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And then it said that Brahma is making use of plans for bodies and planetary systems that are given previously by Mahavishnu. You know, so he's not starting from scratch completely. And he has to put them in the same kinds of bodies that the living entities were in at the time of the devastation. So it's not actually starting from scratch completely.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu. Does that clarify a little bit more? Okay. Huh? Okay, it says here, at the creation, the material energy is let loose as the Mahatattva, into which the Lord, as his first Purusha incarnation, Mahavishnu, enters. He lives within the causal ocean and breathes out innumerable universes. And into each universe, the Lord again enters as Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And it says, each universe is in that way created. He still further manifests himself as Shirodakshay Vishnu, and that Vishnu enters into everything, even into the minute atom. This fact is explained here. He enters into everything. And then I'm seeing if it says about dissolution somewhere. Now, as far as the living entities are concerned, they are impregnated into this material nature, and as a result of their past deeds, they take different positions. Thus, the activities of this material world begin. The activities of different species of living beings are begun from the very moment of the creation. It is not that all is evolved. The different species of life are created immediately along with the universe. Man, animals, beasts, birds, everything is simultaneously created. Because whatever desires the living entities had as at the last annihilation are again manifested. So it's just mentioning what Brahma is creating. Like, that's why Bhagavatam gives more details. So the first six, they are not created by Brahma. But the next six, three, the trees, animals, humans, and demigods, they are created by Brahma. So Bhagavad Gita here, it seems like it's just mentioning about what Brahma is doing. So I think Prabhu's response is like yeah, but they also, when this partial annihilation happened, they also go back into the body of the Lord. That's what partial annihilation is. But when the next day Brahma creates, so all of those are manifest again. Because in next few verses, you will read how there is a fire from mouth of Sankarsan, and then there is these rains, they cover, everything is submerged under water. So, yeah, and then there is no sun, no moon. In the same chapter, we will read further. He gives more details how this partial annihilation is happening. And then in the next chapter, he talks about Kumaras and Brahma. And he gives more detail over there. But yeah, this is what I could resource for these texts. Bigger picture. Yeah. But like Prabhu was saying that, you know, it's from Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu is coming, and then from Garbhodakshai Vishnu, all these entities are coming. So, like he was saying, partially they are, when the partial annihilation is happening, they're probably going back into Garbhodakshai Vishnu. But at the final annihilation, Garbhodakshai Vishnu has to go back to Mahavishnu. Okay. Jai. Thank you, Drutukarma Prabhu. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.